baseball game later.
What?
The Boston Red Sox are playing the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know if you've heard about
it. I've been keeping up. I was listening to the pregame show on the way here.
Fucking Friday night went 18 innings. That's double game.
Yep.
That's two baseball games.
For the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Well, the price was pretty extravagant.
I guess it's good value, but
yeah,
like,
I don't like sports, but that's good value.
I didn't have any dailies that day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a oneer. Like it was Daniel LaRusso doing like a ad for his karate studio.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a oneer. It was just like a push in, and I was like, okay, take three.
Right.
Select. That was it. Like I didn't have anything else to do. Like I had nothing to cut it with. And so I left work at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, oh, there's just nothing for me to do. And I went home, I fell asleep, and I woke up, and that fucking game was still going on. I was like, holy shit.
Don't
like, I had a full night's sleep, and
right.
then woke up, and that goddamn baseball game was still going on.
Yep.
And I was not able to leave my house because of the traffic.
Yeah.
Hard to go this... It still says I'm not online. Wi-Fi
did I knock you off your own hotspot? Let me get on.
No. Like, we should all be. Okay, here we go. Antarctica-ish Bandcamp?
Yeah, I think they might be on Bandcamp. Can you play it off of Bandcamp?
Yeah, if I got this thing going on. Let me hear it. Cool. I should have done this last week.
Yeah, well, I don't think the album was out last week.
Well, I mean, just like, stop playing, goddammit. Oh, I am gonna murder you. I fucking paid for a bunch of really?
Let me give you the
saw
card.
That you had bought shit.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember if it was shit we already had played.
Well, that's the thing, is when we play it, I buy it.
Okay, so you do it after.
Yeah. Okay. So we play it off the website, and then once it's done, at least we give them a buy. I still owe a couple of months, but it's what we're doing. Not so money.
Cool. Okay, so I should delete one of these albums is one that you already bought. I can't remember which one.
Don't worry about it. Let's just start the show.
Okay. How long have we been recording?
3:15.
Oh my god.
You have the headphones. You have to tell me.
Do I have a microphone? Shit.
Yeah, it's right there. I turned it all the way up because it was pointing in the wrong direction.
This one's a full on Muppet nose.
That's racist.
Is it?
I don't know. It seems. Why that one? They're all.
Just, I don't know. It's yellow.
We all have different colors.
Yeah,
the microphone's got a hair on it.
Okay, everybody say your color. This will be good for later.
Welcome to Jonah Radio. Is that the name of our podcast?
It still is.
Is it?
Yeah. What do you have another name for it?
I'm starting it. Like, right now, I think we maybe had a different name. Is it really Jonah Radio?
Who's the president of the United States?
Donald Trump.
That's
unfortunately.
That's crazy. They don't ask that of crazy people anymore.
Yeah, no. Yeah. There's no way to know if people have had a stroke.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you've been asleep since the 80s and right. that you just woke up and that is the second thing you asked.
That's bad news. A speaker just fell off a table. For the second week in a row, we have an Emmy-nominated television editor, film editor. Last week, we had Chris McCaleb. Crushed it. That was a great episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
Probably the best episode we've ever had.
Without Jonah, the caveat.
No.
Yeah.
Like, including Jonah. Like,
wow.
I think that was pretty fucking awesome.
I love
my
that.
Mom listened to it. She was like, that was great.
Well,
she also listened to the Ben Acker mm-hmm. episode, and she was like, that was good. But Chris was great.
Yeah, well, it's
Chris knows how to do a podcast. I mean, they both have veritable ages and ages of podcasting experience. Both of them.
I guess that's probably.
But Chris is more in front of the microphone on his podcast.
But this week we have the indubitable my ace in the hole, Nick Mansoor, who I met
dude, you got a preamble and then you say the name. You preamble, you're like, I met this gentleman.
Yeah, I guess I did.
You gotta introduce him. He's supposed to take the stage right when you say his name.
Yeah, now I'm just in the wings.
And now he's awkwardly.
This is a beautiful theater, by the way.
This theater sucks.
We're about 2 weeks behind the Mystery Science Theater. We're playing every venue they do, but
talk
just at
again
2 o'clock.
About the weird minor threat llama paint. Painting?
That's a D-Act thing. We don't.
Oh my man. God! Cash just put his hand up and knocked a painting off the wall.
Well, it's askew now.
Is it a painting or I guess it's a photo?
It's a photo of.
He's holding it like a hamburger.
I'm holding it like a. There we go.
Oh,
that was impressive.
Put it
well,
back.
Welcome. Wait, I don't. Oh wait, I do. I brought my fucking. Oh no, I didn't. I thought I brought my iPad. So
thank
play.
You. It's great to be here.
Well, I wanted to play like applause drops so that you could be, you could feel welcome.
Oh, but, man.
I mean, I can't believe it only takes an Emmy nomination to get in this, in on this.
It's such a high
believe
quality.
Believe me, I've been here 6 years and I only got one 3 years ago.
We share.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys
you
are.
And I and Steven. And Rich.
The team.
Yeah.
A little inside baseball fellas there.
So we all edited one episode of Key & Peele.
Together.
They got nominated. You got to fix that fucking
painting.
It's really bumming me out.
All right. Well, you know, keep talking.
That's
live on the air clumsiness is.
Oh, just throw it away or something.
Oh, my God.
Your Seth Rogen is so hard
to watch. This is extremely hard to watch. I'm upside down. Okay, there you go.
I'm just going
to
put it
on.
We'd like to welcome llama painting to the podcast.
Yeah.
So Jonah's not here again. And Nick is, and we're so happy he is. Nick.
Yes, thank you for coming, Nick.
Nick has known Jonah. How long you know Jonah?
Oh, God.
This is what we forgot to do with the other two is memories of Jonah.
Yeah.
We should.
Chris actually knows Jonah.
Chris knows Jonah. Ben knows Jonah.
I remember that.
Ben knows Jonah definitely. But Chris was, when I told Jonah, I was like, hey, we did a really good episode of that podcast that you started. And he was like, yeah, Chris was on, right? And I was like, I didn't know you knew him.
Yes.
That must be a funny thing to have your name on a podcast and just be like, who the fuck are these people? I've really seen him at a party. I think we were okay. There's a lot of people in common, but other than that.
You know, like Derek and
Yeah.
So you guys met on Key & Peele or you knew each other from before?
We met on Drunk History.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1. I did my shit where I go, you know what? You should probably edit the first episode.
And you edited the first episode?
And then Nick,
you had edited it already. It was
I did the HBO shows and had done some of the online stuff. But when Comedy Central was like, yeah, we love the idea of the show. We don't like your pilot. Make something else. Go ahead. I was like, yeah, I'm out. And then...
You knew Nick, better, in other words. Yeah. Well,
I just cruised out and I was like, oh, yeah, Nick, I should fucking take this over. And you did the first episode and then I just fully walked in your footsteps from then on.
So you set the look. That's what they call it. They call it that with the directors. Like if you're a pilot director, you set the look for the rest of the show. So procedurals and stuff like that. Like the initial director is like the guy who's like, all right, we're going to use a lot of whip pans in this, and we're going to set the rhythm, which is kind of what you have to do in a show like that where it's like there's so many post processes involved. Like you have to cut the interview, which then informs what's going to happen in the reenactments, which then you then have to cut, and then I'm sure there's a negotiation between the two parts of like, all right, this is what we shot and this is how the story goes. How do we make these jive for the final product as well?
Yeah,
it's always interesting to watch people go through their first, like making their first episode of their TV show. And yeah, I guess as an editor, you're just trying to help them do that. And if you're a real nervous, socially awkward type person, then you just start throwing ideas out when there aren't any. And when they're like, I don't know, you're like, well, what if it was this? And then some people like that, other people
but
don't.
But you made graphics, you made really sculpted that thing.
But I'm sure those were all pitches in the room too, right?
Well, there was one day, I remember, I left on a Friday and you were there for two more days, 48 hours straight.
Yeah.
And the line producer at the time was very upset because he was not informed that you were...
doing OT?
Well, making thousands of dollars.
In OT, yeah.
But you guys figured out that show in the course of 2 days.
That was it was a cool opportunity, that one, just because I'd known Jeremy. We went to high school together, and we're old friends,
wait, what's the name of that school?
It's called Crossroads. We just had our 20th anniversary.
I saw photos.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's as someone who's lived in this town a long time, I would love to see some sort of video coverage of the Crossroads 20-year reunion every year.
It's some elite shit.
Yeah, man. If you do not live in Los Angeles, can you somehow explain Crossroads is?
I guess I can, because I feel like a bit of an interloper there, because I went to public school until 10th grade, and then just this weird moment where my dad made a little bit more money and the LAUSD school system was so insane. Yeah. They started carrying M16s at the school for security that I was going to. My parents were like, okay, we need to figure something else out. So I went there and I was...
So you came in a year after everyone. And so
the kids there started in kindergarten.
Really?
Oh, I knew each other. And there's only 20 kids in a grade.
Right, yeah. Those classes are so small.
Yeah.
Because and I've been blessed and I love the fact that I know so many people who went through that school system. But it relates to me in the sense that I grew up going to public school, and there was another school called Cape Cod Academy where I went to camp. In the summer, I would go and we would put on stage plays and stuff. But those were that's where fancy kids go.
Yeah.
But since I've been here, knowing Jeremy and you and James Atkinson and all these amazing, super talented people, I'm like, oh my God, what was it like when you had, 15 people to a grade?
Yeah.
I had 3,000.
Oh no, the school I went to middle school for, it was 3,500 kids in a school built for 500 in North Hollywood. And it was just
we had trailers in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Science classes were outside.
That is crazy. You're navigating life one way in one instance, and then all of a sudden it's that would have felt like a terrifying amount of attention at that point.
It's not only attention, it's culturally so insane, because Crossroads, which you have to... There's something great about it. I feel very lucky to have gone there in a number of ways.
I went to a private Jesuit high school, and I feel the same way, where it was just I don't know where I would
have
gotten that.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Would have gotten that experience.
Well, it was I don't know, from what I know of you, and Neil, like autodidacts sort of find each other roll together. So I think we probably would have still been into weird stuff, but being at a place where it's actually somewhat rewarded is a different experience as a kid.
However, I was in an environment where people tried to beat me up to steal my sneakers.
Right. No, totally. Now, my graduation in ninth grade at Magic Mountain, I got jumped for my pants. Like, that's where I was coming from.
Pants?
And then next year, I was at a school with a talking stick where you talk about your feelings.
What was going on?
No, I don't. I think it was more for the humor for them. Oh, okay. I don't think my pants were. I think it was like, let's leave this kid pantsless.
It wasn't a Russian come over shopping for child size jeans.
I had a weird habit of buying extremely expensive pants in ninth grade that were just custom made.
Just had to have those Gucci slacks.
Yeah, they were whale skin.
Did you play the opening theme song? Because last week you said you would cut it in, and then I listened to it and you didn't.
I did not cut it in.
Yeah, man. Like, you got one
it's
job.
It's right there.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Nailed it! Out here, it's just a little bit strange. Get off
the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hang on out with your friends.
Game over.
I can strut ground for you.
Valediction.
Understand, it's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
Hey, bud. Good morning.
Not a good idea.
Let's play some music. How about that track that you started three times?
Did I start a track? Yeah, like before that. Love in the Time of Email. Oh, that's this and
Jono Radio, where we figure shit out.
Off. Antarctic.
Antartico Vespucci.
You said it.
Antartico Vespucci is a collaboration between past guests.
Jeff Rosenstock and Chris Farron.
Their second album came out today, or it came out this week. So we're going to play a song off that right now. What's the name of this song, Neil?
This one's called Love in the Time of Email. I have my glasses on now. Antarctica Vespucci. Yep. And it's on Bandcamp. You could buy it. You can buy a vinyl. Shit. $20.
I looked away, and he's got his glasses like with the temples up, the ear things up around the top of his
fucking
hairline.
Hell. Like I
looking over it,
I went through the email inbox of submissions, and $20 is pretty steep
for vinyl.
Well, for on par with other Jono Radio submissions, I'm like, oh, look at you guys. Like, everything else was like $1 or $5, but...
Can you buy by track?
These are professional musicians.
They are professional musicians.
They got shirts. They got knit hats.
Jesus
Christ. That hat is pretty cool.
Play the song. Just play the song.
What's funny is that we can't see it either. No, like, not only can no one listening see what he's looking at...
This is the first time Cash has ever been, like, frustrated... Like, it's usually me, like, rolling over.
That's what happens when somebody leaves, like, rolls.
This is Antarctica Vespucci with Love.
Wish I had the best.
Thank you.
Hey, that's me. It's me talking.
That's you talking. That was Antarctica is Bucci with love in the time of email.
I haven't lost the wonder.
Yeah, you've been in the game for a while, but just hearing your own voice.
What? I'm not hearing my own voice.
Just coming out of your mouth. I mean, just hearing it in space still is exciting.
Nick Mansoor, you are my inspiration.
Well, I do, seriously. I mean, I will take any public forum, is that what the...
It's a public forum, I guess. Okay,
to thank... I mean, Neil, really, I do owe him the fact that I have any kind of ongoing work to a large extent. The job at Key & Peele that you recommended me for, I am writing that shit as long
Because you are now editing with Jordan Peele on his multiple fucking amazing projects, because he's now got... $70 million in the bank or
he's
whatever.
He's a one-man studio over there. Well, I mean, there's other people help working there, too.
Yeah.
So, are you on Twilight Zone?
No, his next feature we're cutting right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is this one about me?
It's called Us, so it
depends. Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. I knew somebody was tackling my
story. You were going to do Get Out, but you couldn't because you were doing...
I don't know. I don't... I don't want to say that exactly because I know that we talked about it, but I was working on Keanu.
Yes, the quote unquote Key & Peele movie.
Right.
You were working on that. Get Out was kind of going on at the same time.
Yes.
But I introduced you to those guys.
Yes.
And I was like, this guy's way better than me.
He does say that a lot.
I really do.
Like last week, he's like, this guy he explained it, and it was very universal, because you're like, you ever do a job and you're good at the job and you're like, you know how to do it and you know how to make it work, and then you run into somebody who's just like, oh, they just do the job like they take a creative level to a job that doesn't necessarily have.
See, I know I've been away. You've been saying this for a while, and I will take it because again, it's led to my continued employment. But I do feel like what I lose in that is a brother, because I think of you.
You have an actual brother, though.
Fuck him. No. I just mean that you. When meeting you in because I hadn't been working in, you know, official television and film very long.
Right, you were working with PETA and you did some stuff with Michael Mann.
I did nonprofit and documentary shit for a long time.
You did, you worked with Michael Mann?
I did, which was funny because I was listening to last
Our
week's
guy,
show.
Chris. Chris spent some time with him.
Which I know I've heard about him through those people.
Oh, really?
It was briefly because... It was like a short-lived HBO documentary show called Witness that was awesome that he produced. Only four episodes.
The stories you've told me about that are infuriating.
Not to be told ever. Never good, because we're definitely not going to ask him about
this
them
is
now.
What I'll say. I'll say anyone who has worked with Michael Mann, when you find each other in the world,
I've seen that.
A moment.
In the trunk of a car somewhere.
There's something that you understand that other people don't. But anyway,
there was not to tell tales out of school, but like,
well, okay,
going to his house with like spreadsheets of notes of what had been accomplished that day, so that he could read it on a piece of paper rather than watch.
It was a hell of an education for a first actual TV job, because I had done like documentary stuff and indie stuff and pilots that never saw the light of day. Yeah. But this was the first like, okay, this is on TV, it's on HBO, and it's Michael Mann. So it was like, it was insane. Every job since, anything anyone asks for in terms of like, you know... just spreadsheets, homework, do your notes, export this or that. It's nothing compared to what that job entailed, and just technically, so everything feels kind of easy. So it was a great thing, and also he is a genius. Like the stuff he would say, he just, you know, the notes from him would be like, you know, this show is like a fractal, and I'd be like, and that's it, and just like you figure out what that means. So It's really, I learned a lot from that. That's all I'll say. It was really incredibly tough, and documentaries are incredibly tough.
Yes.
Documentaries are.
Which Drunk History had a little bit of a feel, like a nod to how tough documentaries are because we got so much footage.
We did do a lot of writing from the booth, as they say.
But I do want to, I still want to just address this idea. The fact is that when we started working together, and really it was, when we started working together on Drunk History, I was like, oh, this is another person who approaches editing the way I do, which is we made stuff ourselves on our computers for friends, and we figured out how to do it all, like, kind of on our own. I mean, yeah, a little bit of education, a little bit of, like, learning from other people, but a lot of stuff was just experimentation of learning how to do graphics, sound effects, whatever, and we could do it all. And that was, and I feel, and that sort of creative added thing that I think we, like, our generation of editors started doing more because we could.
That was the original Final Cut school of, I stole this software. I figured out how to cut stuff. I shot live shows. I did graphics on my own. I figured out these 20 fucking layered graphics things that...
Or what's the dude? I always forget his name, but the guy from Tim and Eric.
Doug Pound.
Yeah. Like Doug Lucenaut. That generation of like, you can't even write those jokes. You can only make some of them in an edit bay.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of stuff that I felt like...
I will forever feel like he's never gotten enough credit.
No.
Like I feel like he wrote that show... super hard, like to a degree where I just love him. I still listen to his podcast. He's got a great podcast called The Poundcast. Him and Brent Weinbach.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a smart, weird. You know what he did? Do you remember in the early days of internet video sharing,
mm-hmm.
where there was those fucking G.I. Joe videos?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Like
the PSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made those. He was in Chicago. He was working at some ad agency or something, and then just like made those for fun.
Yeah. Those are the best.
Yeah.
Stop all the downloading.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
And like,
hey kid.
I was working at fucking Troma at the time, and I was like, oh man, nothing we will do will ever be as good as these fucking G.I. Joe PSAs. You know, like, knowing is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
That are redubbed, and
it's funny because the weird film history indie stuff that ran through San Francisco and all that stuff all came from, a lot of it was George Lucas money. Like, that was George Lucas's friends, Ford Coppola, were both based out of San Francisco, so like they made stuff up there, and they, you know, ILM was a big thing, and then they founded Pixar and that stuff, and there was always the quote from George Lucas that I saw.
It's more isolated drum tracks.
Yeah.
It was very popular last week.
It was. It's not so copyrighted. Like, it's, like, you just...
I mean, it's copyrighted, but, like, it's...
We're not providing commentary.
4% of a copyright?
No. That I don't think it works like that.
Copeland. This is the Police.
A lot of drummers say he's the best drummer.
I know. Because he is a good... He's technically perfect.
Technically perfect?
Him, Neil Peart.
Mm-hmm.
My drum teacher was a big John Bonham guy.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Your drum teacher did a lot of the study of rhythm.
Well, I don't know. He was just, like, kind of a drunk. Like, he's not, like, I don't know.
Right, you're either, like, on the loose side, like, Bonham, like, wild and mm-hmm. pounding and noise, like, animal from
exactly.
the Muppets, or
he was much more of a, like,
drum scientist.
I wish there was more of a spectrum within the Muppets, because you have Animal. I wish there was another member of that band that was, like, technical dude. Like, he could hit the solos.
What's the lady's name? Janice?
I think it's Janice, yeah.
Like, if Beaker
kind of looks like
drums.
Amy Mann.
Like very math
rock.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh God.
If only.
We're gonna put you and Acker together. Throw Tony Thaxton in there, and you guys will tour with Beaker's math rock band.
This is not like
what's the guy from Caballero's name?
Who?
The guitar player.
From
Battles and Don Caballero.
Oh, shit.
He is kind fucking of like Beaker.
Ian.
Ian. I wanted to say Spinonius, but obviously it's not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ian, yeah. My friend Deep Dave cut. Is in that band. And then the drummer.
It's not Dave.
It's not Dave.
Not Dave.
I went to... Like, I always feel weird saying I went to college with that guy, because we went to different colleges, but, like, we hung out
I went
all
to college
time.
Near that guy.
It
was literally the same thing with Michaeleb last week. It's
right.
Like, we went to different
colleges.
We hung
out
together.
In the same
yeah.
houses all the time.
Yeah.
But, This is not a good isolated drum track.
Well, it's very mechanical, which I guess was kind of
here
the
we
point.
Go.
Girls don't yeah. go crazy. This no. is the Sublime No Doubt?
No, it's crossover? Fucking Toto.
Oh, all right, well.
Rosanna.
Again with Toto.
This is...
This is randomly ran into like a 40-minute interview with the guy from Toto when I was driving around in a Lyft, and it was fucking fascinating.
How did that happen?
XM Radio, buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. XM
Which
Radio.
Jeff Porcaro or the singer?
Jeff Porcaro.
The drummer.
I don't know who's the drummer. Maybe he was the bassist or something like that. I don't know.
That's no good. You want Porcaro or nothing.
That's what the merch says. It's the merch. That's the t-shirt that he makes them carry.
There's a band. There's a band called Kansas, right?
Yes.
Did you know that the whole band of Toto was in the band Kansas, but then they got kicked
out? That's
what
you were saying last week.
And they were like,
it was like a super
you're not
group.
In Kansas anymore,
yeah,
Toto.
Yeah.
Really? True story.
Is that the fucking...
That's a true story.
That is not
Holy
a true story.
Shit.
Really?
That's great.
Oh, this is... I feel like there's... even if that's wrong, that's going out uncorrected.
Oh, man. Oh, let's play Jonah's update from the road.
Hey, guys. It's me, Jonah. I am currently in Royal Oak, Michigan. We just got done with our first show, and we are about to do our second show. The first show was The Brain, and then the second show was now about to be Deathstalker 2. Lucky you, there is another piano here in the dressing room at the Royal Oak Theater, and here's a song for you. He's a 70s cop. Hey, he's a 70s cop. He don't know what he do. He's 70s cop. Ooh, he's a 70s cop. He don't play by the rules.
This is not going well.
We've been meeting like a lot of cool people on the road. There's been people, I complimented some guy on some shirt he had. It was a band shirt of some sort. And I said, nice shirt. He's like, yeah, nailed it. And a lot of people have been saying that they're Jonah Radio listeners. So thanks so much for coming out to the show. It sounds like I'm fucking doing like a fucking call-in radio thing like I've had to a few times. We're happy to hear people go, it's like, well, so this is a, so Mr. Sensei is a pretty crazy show, right? Why don't you explain what it is? Because they don't do their own research. But I am very tired all the time. I'm trying not to gain a lot of weight. I am trying not to drink to go to sleep every night. And I'm looking at the piano down here at the Royal Oak, and there's a reference to Tom Waits. The piano has been drinking, and then someone wrote not me after it, and then someone just wrote ministry after that. It looks like Chris Christopherson. Played on this piano. Someone just wrote, nice one, Rick. Someone wrote, I think it was Jonah. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but he was he's like a sports podcaster, and he wrote his name Jonah and then a baseball around it. And then Tycho, the DJ Tycho is on here. Ben was here, so that could be any Ben, really. Someone just wrote SG. I guess that might be the guitar they were referring to. Who knows? And Warren Miller Crew, 2017. And someone says RIP Rick. I wonder if that one has anything to do with the nice one, Rick. I wonder if Rick ripped the nice one on this that he died shortly after. Shit. I'm looking to the right of my right now. And it says Rick's memorial piece. Once owned by Rick Balak, a dear friend of the theaters donated this piano in loving memory of Rick Balak. Rick's passion for music drove him through his life. As one of the good guys, you could trust him with your heart. He spent hours in the end playing piano and practicing pieces to perform perfectly. He entertainer. All right, well, I'm getting out of here. I will see you guys next time I talk to you. I love you, and I miss you so much. I'm going to have a drink before the next show.
Well, oh, also, I went to Third Man Records, and I got to go get a tour of Third Man Records, which was really cool, seeing how crazy Jack White can be when it comes to designing an entire office and warehouse. And then I recorded in their little sound booth thing that records directly onto vinyl an acoustic version of the Reptilicus song, Every Country Has a Monster.
No way.
And I'm going to sell it, I think, at one of these shows. I'm just going to ask for like a lot of money in the hopes that it doesn't sell. It'd be funny if it did sell for like $200 or something like that. Because it is one of a kind, but who cares about me? All right. Well, I'm glad everyone's enjoying the podcast with the boys. I really miss those guys, and I'm the Chris McCaleb episode was a good job. So good on you guys. Hope you're well. Low butt.
Oh, that was nice to hear from Jonah. That's
what was the last part?
Low butt.
What's that mean?
Look at your text messages from earlier today. I'm not going to bring it up on air, but
low butt.
Low butt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was the name of a robot that's on that show that I don't watch.
Buddy. That's Jonah's.
There's a bartender across the street that has like a really weird low butt.
I've seen that.
It's like a great butt, but like it's just weirdly low. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. I mentioned it
provided
earlier.
Context for that one. That was Jonah with his graffiti call-in corner and bummer of a story hour, but I think he saved it right at the end. Like, we didn't end up talking about Rick that much.
Who?
The dead piano guy.
Oh, right. Anyway, Amber Youngblood emails us.
Oh, what's Amber have to say? Oh, no, this isn't the...
This is the lady that likes me.
Oh, man. Nick.
It's great to meet Jonah just then. That was awesome.
Yeah. So Amber Youngblood submitted some music that she does not have rights to, so we can't play it. So
so what?
Kind of a fail in that sense.
What? Okay.
But she says, hey, feels totally weird to be emailing random dudes from a podcast, but I guess that's what's happening. I've been listening since the beginning. Ooh. Just wanted to say how much I appreciate the show. I used to live in L.A. in the Eagle Rock, Glassell Park area, but moved out of the state for a couple of years. As weird as it sounds, listening to you guys talk about all the local references is really comforting and reminded me of the places I missed. We moved back to L.A. recently. We, meaning her and her husband.
Oh, Neil, that's disappointing for I know. All of us.
Weird single, Neil. we moved back to L.A. this summer, and it's really been rad being back. Also, in defense of Neil.
Oh, no.
I think he's really funny and dreamy. Don't tell my husband I said that.
What? Way to fucking... You know she listens. You know she's married. She probably shares it with her husband. She writes in with this confidential message of love, and then you put her on blast, Neil.
Yeah, well,
last name and all.
Yeah,
she. Well, I guess she endorses this band called Sophie Nun Squad that she grew up listening to in Arkansas. You should go listen to it. We can't play it because we don't know them, and they probably don't exist anymore, but they seem cool.
God damn it.
But yeah, she sent some shit that she doesn't own the rights to.
Well, congratulations, bands. Anyone listening who hasn't gotten their songs played yet, just know, flirt with Neil when you write in. It might not get your music played, but it will get your email read.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You got another song on there?
Sure do.
All right, let's fire it up. Who's this, Neil?
This is Odd Folks. I've Always Known Your Name is the name of the song. They say, attached below are songs from our third upcoming album, due for a release on Halloween 2018, so that's coming up.
That is still coming up.
If you have trouble with the files, well, that's
don't need to bullshit. Read the whole
thing. But this is Michael Martin from Dallas, Texas.
Odd guy, Folks playing their song.
Yeah, a guy that plays in a band called Odd Folks. I'm going to open this in iTunes.
In a world dominated by dude bro movie podcasts, only one podcast is brave enough to call bullshit. Who shot ya? The podcast that dares to say that white dudes' opinions aren't the only opinions.
If you have a movie pass, like, get a ticket to it to support Taraji, then go home.
Ant-Man seems so unnecessary at this point. Ant-Man is like a ketchup packet too many.
Who shot ya? With Ricky Carmona.
I wanted to see Wolverine kick ass and eat some popcorn and have a good time.
Alonzo Duralde.
Is this Andy Richter?
Yeah!
Oh my God!
And April Wolf.
I love Wild Things because you get to see Kevin Bacon's dick.
Who shot ya? Listen every Friday on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of trying to keep up with the news cycle?
Is bad stuff happening too fast for you to process?
Don't you wish there was an easy way to find out about only the most important info you need?
Hi, we're Lisa.
And Emily. Why don't you try our podcast, Baby Geniuses?
On each episode of our podcast, we discuss a weird Wikipedia page such as
flatulence humor,
Clamato,
Catalan witches,
Clippy the Microsoft Office helper,
death during consensual sex,
and the talking mongoose.
We ask each other stupid questions.
If you got a packet with like 300 seeds in it, what kind of plant would you choose the seeds to be?
That felt like you were assigned to ask me a question and there were certain words you weren't allowed to use.
We talk about Martha Stewart, her pony, and other celebrity horse news. Ben Chunch.
Every other week on Maximum Fun.
Baby Geniuses.
Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Give me Russian dead. I don't even know how to play for yet. I'll be working all my life to stay.
Song's over. That was Crushing Debt by
George Bailey.
And I thought I copied and pasted his email, but I didn't.
That's too bad. He's a good guy. We've played him in the past.
Oh, have we?
Yes, we have. Several times, I think, actually. I played him on the best
name.
Of.
No, that's not his name.
That's the name of the band.
That's like a Mazzy Star
situation. Oh, here it is. His name is Nathan Allen.
But the band,
he may
be a one man band.
He might be. He says, thanks so much for playing us again. I freaked out when our song came on. We're working on a new album. This may be pushing my luck, but here's our first single, and that's the song we just played. So Nathan Allen, who I kept thinking about, Ethan Allen.
Yeah, great furniture.
Great furniture. Patriot.
Oh, is he one of those dudes like Sam Adams who's yes. also in on that shit?
Yeah, he was one of those guys. I think he might have been a traitor or something.
Oh.
But, yeah, Ethan...
If you're a Revolutionary War historian, write in. We want to hear from you. Tell us about Ethan Allen and his...
Yeah, there's lots of Ethan Allen furniture retail places where I grew up.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
It's great stuff. Home of the Patriots.
A lot of those couches with, like, the little... These little inverted pimple kind of buttons.
Sure.
I pull down... You don't have them on your couch, but...
neither do listeners.
Like a button that like pulls down the couch. Like that was...
Oh, upholstered?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Jack White used to be an upholsterer.
Yeah. Jack White might know what he's doing. Wouldn't that be great, though? Just like getting into that. Like
getting into upholstery?
Yeah.
What?
Just way into furniture making?
Or
just
like,
not having to live in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And going like, oh yeah, I'm going to like make some...
I think make some chairs. The only place I know for upholstery is Tijuana.
Right.
So, I mean...
There is in LA, like if you go down to like Jefferson Boulevard or Exposition, there's like a upholsterer's row down there.
That's all auto upholstery.
Not only... No. Like furniture...
I think auto is the most common, but that most places will also do furniture, yeah.
Still like furniture shops that are like third, fourth generation family owned down there. That's pretty awesome.
I spent a day on car stereo row. I had to get...
That's an amazing thing that doesn't seem like it should be real, is the car stereo district in downtown.
It's incredible. And I had to get a light bar put on this fake cop car. And
for what?
It was for Hampton Yount's pilot.
Oh, for a television show.
But it was like, I was producing it, and I was writing interview questions and making sure locations were good, and then it got to the point where I was like, there's like a PA that can do this, right? And they're like, no, we're using all the PAs. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to get this light bar installed. And I went down on the street and hung out there for like 4 hours while they installed it. And
like a cop car? Like a wee-wee-wee?
It was more like the light bar was akin to like if you see like off-roaders and stuff like that, those extra lights they put on.
Okay, the Casey Day letters.
Yeah. But it looked cool. It looks it's all over the pilot is just like transition shots of that car driving with the light on at night.
I looked at a loft down there once when I moved back to LA after college, and it was cheap because it's nonstop blaring eight different types of music.
All your stereo DJ equipment, every type of flashing light and disco ball and they all sell kind of the same thing, but there's still 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And then the dude that installed it was like, he didn't work there. He worked down the street. He just like brought his tools and came down.
Yeah.
Like
he rollerbladed.
It was just sort of like, I don't think he works any place. He just has like a rolling toolbox that he's just like, I post up with it here at the top of the day, and everybody who sells just like weighs me down and I come in and install it. And they were doing everything. And it's also the place I've seen the craziest porn for sale on.
Oh no!
On blankets, like it was just blankets and transgender porn.
New York style,
but like
you heard it here. Car stereo district on a blanket. That's where you got to go, folks.
And it was like
VHS or DVD.
DVD.
Or, okay.
And the dudes buying it were all like there was a taco shop.
There were several dudes buying it
that came
more
together.
Than one
that came like one
literally.
Of them, one of the dudes brought the other guys, like, you got to come to my car window tinting place. And they were down there getting his windows tinted. And he's like, by the way, we'll get some tacos. And then, oh, by the way, hey, look what's here.
It's
and
like wandering into the marginalia of a Philip K. Dick
world.
You're just like, this is what's off screen in Blade Runner that you never see. Yeah. There's weird pockets of stuff down there.
Yeah. See, that's what you'd miss if you were in upholstery.
Well,
you couldn't go down there. You'd be off in Idaho.
I don't think I'd miss that.
No? Like, no, you don't take advantage of it now.
Well, I'm literally more concerned about this blanket. Like, where does that go? Is someone using that?
Like an old Navajo rug sort of situation?
Is anyone snuggling that?
No, what's the name of those, like, hobo sticks?
Bindle?
Bindle. He just wraps it up into a bindle stick and heads home.
Oh, no.
Hops on a train, hits the next town.
Sings his Woody Guthrie songs on the rails.
We mentioned Chicago earlier. You went to school in Chicago.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That's where all of my favorite music comes from.
Mine as well. It was a big reason I went there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, it was like a weird one of those, as we have bonded many times. We both had an attachment to a sort of Midwest post-punk kind of 90s.
The drag cities, the touch and goes.
The thrill jockeys. Yeah. And there was some cool stuff because I grew up in L.A., and there was like 3-1-G in San Diego, but L.A. was pretty dead up till, like, in my tenure in high school in the late 90s was like, there were very few clubs, and so we'd go to San Diego for shows, but everything I was listening to was from Chicago or Omaha.
So were you going to see, what's his name, Donut Friend guy, Mark?
Cuban?
No, not Mark.
Mark Cuban's old band.
Yeah, you remember Mark Cuban's
Bezos
band?
Bezos' band. Yeah, the Mavericks. Great.
He was so tight.
It was
on
like
the bass.
3-1-G was like Jimmy LaValle. It was like the Locust and Album.
Right.
Leaf. Those guys.
Okay, so Locust
and,
and
lots of old.
But the guy that runs Donut Friend, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Hoppus.
Areno.
I know who you mean.
Yeah, the dude from San Diego.
Drive Like Jehu. Yes, Drive Like Jehu. And
you played a track. I listened to your last week's show. That track you ended with,
Behemoth.
I have it right.
Berater.
Yes, Berater.
That reminded me a lot of Drive Like Jehu kind of sound.
And Drive Like Jehu was like it was like the last band I got into, mm-hmm. and I was like, all right. Done. Like I got enough bands.
Well, there was a weird. This is such. I mean, we're getting really deep into something that I can.
That's
only
the
imagine
only this reason this podcast exists.
Okay. Well, there was a weird San Diego Chicago connection through that. Through like,
Trombino. Was that
through?
Yeah. There you go.
And Three Mile Pilot, and Rob. The guy from Pinback who was in Drive Like Jehu, who toured with Drive Like Jehu.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a weird connection between San Diego musicians and Chicago musicians and some Seattle, some Omaha. But anyway, a lot of the bands I was going to see.
Yes, definitely Omaha and Louisville.
Yes, exactly. And the Louisville-Chicago thing was huge.
Weirdly, now
a lot of them have moved here, which is amazing.
Pow and fucking...
I just saw Tara Jane O'Neill the other night, and she's still like the most criminally underrated songwriter that I know of. She played with Rachel. She was the other singer in Rodan, which was an amazing one-album band that did... anyway, this is some deep shit. But yeah. Rachel's...
I'm enjoying it. I just don't know what the nouns mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rachel's was a band.
Okay.
Rachel's
Rodan
was a band.
Named after a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, I get that one.
But they were amazing.
I guess that's Rodan, not as opposed to Rodin, the sculptor.
Right.
So
not
it's
the,
a
it's the Italian sculptor.
A French showing of the Japanese movie is what it is.
Yeah, not the French impressionist Mathura.
That was a super weird, like, I guess it was mid-90s stretch.
Yeah.
Where, like, Rodan was, like, a one-and-done
basically
band. Bitch Magnet was a problematic name, but also, I think, one-and-done.
Mm-hmm. But it was all a couple of record labels that when I think back now about, like, what I know it takes to be an adult and live in the world, that they were... You know, like, I met, like, the Drag City people and some of the thrill jockey, like the people who started it, and like the amount of work they were putting in for nothing, for no reward, no money to get those bands out there. That I was in LA, you know, 22,000 miles away, just being like, this is the best stuff ever, and is like the sound of my. Anyway, it's pretty impressive considering just the amount of work to get stuff in stores.
Yeah.
Like there was no, it wasn't on the internet.
Booking those tours were like,
it's crazy.
You're making $200 a night or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you got fucking assholes like me throwing slices of pizza at you.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Anyway, some of them have gone on.
See episode one.
Episode one?
Yeah. I think you told that story on episode one.
On the first one?
Yeah, on the first episode.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
You have a remarkable memory, if that's the case.
It's one
of my favorite stories, and if I fucking dump that on episode one...
No, I think you've told it at least 5 times.
Okay, good.
We get a lot of audience turnover. Everybody's always discovering it, but everybody's also getting sick of it.
Amber, how many times have I told that story?
Amber, too many. That's all I will say. Just a quality judgment. Not a quantitative.
You guys want to hear some like country western type music?
Country western. I love country. Both types.
Both country and western.
My favorite hybrid genre.
Yeah, before,
I mean, rhythm and blues is good.
But before that, when they had the country versus western war, so many people died unnecessarily,
But the treaty really.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It brought a lot of creative people together, which is what you want.
Let me look up this guy's email.
You hear that, North Korea? lesson to be learned.
Yeah, we don't want North Korean music. We don't want South Korean music. No, we want Korean music.
Yeah, or Korea and Korea music.
Oh, so that's
Vinny,
like, North and South.
As he signs his email, I'm going to call him Vincent.
I'm uncomfortable.
From Bremer and the No Goods.
Oh,
hey guys, we're big fans of the Jonah Radio.
We played them a couple weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah.
Should I not play him?
I think we played him on Acker's show.
Did we?
Bremer and the No Goods, yep.
In relation to Ewan Bremer, the amazing actor?
Ewan Bremer?
I don't think so.
Ewan Bremer.
Is that really? Who's he, what's he in?
He's really... Well, he's Spud from Trainspotting is how most people know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But his turn in Julian Donkey Boy as the eponymous character is one of the most amazing.
I have never been more scared of seeing a movie than I am of Julian Donkey Boy.
It's worth a watch.
That and Zoo. And I own Zoo, and I've never watched it, and I don't know if I ever want
it. That is a kind of terrifying movie.
Yeah.
Julian Donkey Boy is sad as hell, but an incredible thing.
Yeah.
I am so old, but DVDs, there used to be the DVD of Julian Donkey Boy. Yeah. There is a behind-the-scenes feature of Ewan Bremer. They Harmony Korine had him go in character to a therapist's office as a schizophrenic, and totally convinced this psychiatrist that like it's an amazing feature. It's an hour uncut of performing.
Yeah, that
it sounds
so
as I'm saying it like blackface or something, but it isn't. It somehow isn't, it's extremely
where, like,
humanizing.
Sacha Baron Cohen stuff rubs me.
Yeah, no,
weird.
I'm with you on that. Where I'm like, this is
hey, you know, like people are trying to do genuine good in this world, and you're taking advantage of them.
Right. I guess I'd have to think about that. Maybe because you can't really cast a schizophrenic actor.
Yeah. Which is more shitty, to cast a schizophrenic actor and then push them into an episode, or to hire somebody to play a schizophrenic actor?
I feel like
you do less harm with the second one.
We could get real deep real quick. I mean, I feel like it might have to do with if you are a materialist and think schizophrenia is biological,
yeah,
or not. If it's biological, then I think maybe you would be more on the side of that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because that's just a condition. Like, anyway, that's not something you could.
That's a really interesting idea. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But acting isn't, I mean, no, acting is 100%. You always lose something going through the glass. Right?
Sure.
You can't tap into exactly what's happening.
No, and that's where a good filmmaker, I think, will give you cues that this is still a reflection of reality.
Yes.
We're not trying to.
Yes, yes.
Which
I think that
movie does. Anyway, again, it's 15, 20 years old.
And I'm terrified of seeing it, so.
It's really good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You and Primer. Did you see Trainspotting 2?
I did, on the recommendation of a director I was working with at the time.
Yeah? What'd you think?
I find... God, this is... Yeah, I don't know how you guys do this. I stay off Twitter, kind of. I stay off podcasts and stuff because I'm, you know, you never know who you're going to work with and later be like, you know what, I understand what they're doing now. Yeah. And yeah. I was wrong. It's very easy from the outside mm-hmm. to be like,
yes,
what a fucking idiot. But I will say, I'll go out on a limb, Danny Boyle confuses the shit out of me. I don't understand... 90% of his choices in yeah. movies, like Dutch angles and horrible.
That is a weird choice forever. Like, yeah. like a Dutch angle forever has well, been like
also,
a weird.
Also, if you ever want to trip on acid but don't want permanent brain damage, watch his Olympic ceremony that he yes. maestroed. That is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I think that might be the weirdest experience you can have as a human, is watching British history summed up via mass stadium spectacle yeah. with like drones, a James Bond talking to the Queen and jumping in, and then Kenneth Branagh as like the industrial. Anyway, so yeah, Trainspotting 2.
I'm putting this in the notes. There will be a hot link so you okay. can watch this.
I think Trainspotting 2 is like, did a fine job of doing that thing, which is like niche audience. You liked the first one.
Yeah.
Here, this is just a gift for the fans.
Yeah.
It was a gift for fans, which yeah, I don't think as a movie of itself
I have not
makes
seen
any
it, but,
sense whatsoever.
The people who I know who loved that first movie right. were like very satisfied with it.
Yeah. And it's sort of like culture for the cultureless.
Yeah.
It's like...
The first one is such a... weird celebration of being alive and yes. being doing drugs and being young and all that stuff. And then the second one is such a celebration of being old and everything's kind of boring. And it's truthful.
All the characters except Spud.
Yes.
I do like the character of Spud quite a bit because I actually am interested in what
yes.
his life is like.
And he's the only
other ones
that...
are like, they're not part of any scene or subculture or...
Yeah.
They're just kind of dudes, and they're like, yeah, I like music. Like, yeah. that's, I don't know. It's just a weird cultureless thing of, like, it's extremely mainstream people, but who are somehow outsiders. It's a weird, which I feel like is why people relate to it. It's like, I wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people, like, I don't know.
I do see it as a, it's about aging. Like, the only other movie I've ever seen that was about aging or death in that way was, did you ever see the Prairie Home Companion movie?
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
Sure.
I did not like that movie, but I was also like, this is about dying.
Yeah.
And if somebody who is dying is making a movie about dying, I kind of
well,
have
yeah,
to pay attention
it's like
to
that,
it.
The 7-Up movies.
Yes.
Oh, where man.
It's just that weird thing we can do now because image-making technology is, like,
mm-hmm.
consistent now, so right. we can... follow up or like Boyhood or something.
Yes. It's just yeah,
these,
yeah.
these possibilities that we didn't really have before.
Yeah. Have they made like a, what is it, 49 up?
Yeah, they're,
I think the next one is due pretty soon.
I think they hit 49. Already.
I think they did. Yeah.
I watched like I the first three 50. And then got the best.
Yeah, no, I can't. That's
one I was just like, I'm glad that exists. I'm glad that's happening. Right. I don't need to engage with
yeah.
it. It's going to teach me about how short life is, and
yeah.
I've saved 3 hours on my life by not going to see
it. I've been alive a long time. I don't need to think about Jimmy Carter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like...
no.
It's... I don't know.
No. Like the peanut farm thing?
No, just like...
I mean, he builds houses for people now.
He's...
I mean, like, yeah. like Jimmy Carter, like Ronald Reagan, like... Ronald Reagan was... president for 8 years of my life, mm-hmm. like formative years, like my elementary school years. The fucking Challenger disaster happened. I remember like the secretary at my elementary school was like fucking super down for Reagan, like just loved him. She was from Texas, like she talked to like children, like 8-year-old children.
Today's about, Tom Sawyer.
Yes, this is Tom Sawyer. Yeah. Song of the Working Man. I don't know. I just like things that happen over that span of time like, I'm not interested in going into my past, I guess.
But like the Kennedy assassination?
Super dark about me.
No, I agree with you. There's so much nostalgia from our generation, because now people in their late 30s are making everything and picking everything that gets made. So that there's just so much revisiting of the same.
The
thing that bums me out the most is like how I don't like maybe it happened generations before us, but like I feel like as a generation, me as a 40-year-old person, I feel completely infantilized. Like I'm served on a constant basis. Like, hey, remember this cartoon from when you were a kid?
Oh God.
Hey, why don't you buy this fucking $180 toy from the He-Man cartoon that you loved when you were a kid? Hey, like keep like being a kid forever and ever and ever.
Well, and, not to be like end timesy, but there is.
Hold on a sec. I'm just going to turn down the just a little bit that drum solo from that song
from
the
70s. I like the idea.
I'll turn it down.
No. I turned it down a while ago. I was just making a point about how, you know, this album came out before you were born. Or like the whole fascination with classic rock is something that it's just. I know so many people my age that are like, I was in high school, especially, was like, I'm a classic rock guy. And I was like, I get it. It's good music, but it's also like, it's not yours at all. It was not written for you. It was not written by anyone who.
No, thank you.
Anyone with your perspective, it is literally the rock of your parents. Right. Like, and I enjoy some of that stuff, but you can't. Kids who told me that they were into classic rock, I was like, you're like failing it at basic.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're failing at music if you're only listening.
That's
to
That's been going on, you know, forever. That's like Bob Dylan being into Woody Guthrie.
Yeah, I guess that
it's
true.
Like none of it was ever anybody's, but I will say that some things I feel like you don't get the last word on. Like if somebody's, it's not nostalgic to me to be into musicianship or like acoustic instruments, like
or quality
of years.
And nobody's generation is you can't put generations on musical
prowess.
You really can't. Like it's always gonna flow from quality to quality to
I think that's a function of like the packaging and the marketing of it. A lot is to
just the name classic rock.
But you are you're right. That is very weird. It's funny when you see that happening when you're alive. Like I remember when grunge was or alternative music. I was like, that's nobody's there's no actual alternative bands.
Yeah.
No band is going around saying I'm that, but then they started that became the name of the music and it made no sense.
That's a great point.
It was college rock, then alternative, and then grunge. Yeah. And then there was just, I was
And then
the
you
same
find people
shit.
Being like, my favorite kind of music's alternative music. It's like that, you're speaking nonsense.
No, my favorite is an alternative to music. It's mostly silence.
Right.
Sometimes trucks drive by, but I'm really into that stuff.
Yeah, whatever isn't popular at any moment is what I'm into.
And that is.
That is
a thing. Oh, man. We have taken down Kurt Loder once again.
Man, that name keeps coming up this week.
Yeah. Really?
Well, I can't say much about the movie I'm working on, but we're trying to get Kurt Loder.
No way.
Is that a hard call? Is like, do you have to go through people, or is it just like, anybody got Kurt's number?
I think we're trying to convince ourselves to make the call. I don't think we're actually...
He's great, though.
I know. I feel like he's been used already in that way.
Tabitha Soren definitely has shown up on... There's that thing of, like... I guess MTV is, like, maybe slightly off-brand, but, like, when newscasters play themselves in movies talking about fake news...
I hate
like,
it.
Like, fake stories.
Yeah.
It makes me so upset.
I
want to go to fucking Walter Cronkite's grave and like just like pray or like put flowers down or something.
Well, there is a transparency there though that's like they know they're just playing a character.
But the
Last Mission Impossible one is the only time I've ever liked it.
Who?
Did you watch the Last Mission Impossible one? movie.
One. Yes.
Who was in that?
It was Wolf Blitzer, but it was part of the...
But see, but that's like...
It was part of the gag in
the
movie.
I can't be upset about Wolf Blitzer being artificial. That's true. Like, yeah. He's a hologram. Isn't he a hologram?
The ones that drive me crazy are like the
weird hologram
ones.
Thing. Was Will it the last election? Yeah. Or like...
Yeah, no, they were like dropping correspondence into 3D studio space.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you guys see the thing from The Flood?
That was crazy.
It's this woman talking about like what flood levels do, and she stands on a platform, and then they show the water where,
the
relative
channel.
To her. Yeah, yeah. Fucking Weather Channel's doing some shit. My boy,
that's true.
What's his name?
Your boy?
Yeah, my boy from Comics Unleashed. What's his name? He owns it now.
The
dude from Comics, the guy with the terrible guy. Yeah. Shit. I can't believe I can't remember the name of the guy who does Comics Unleashed.
Host of Comics
Unleashed. Host of Comics Unleashed, which is a late night syndicated
show. Runs the Weather Channel
now? He owns it.
He bought it?
I believe he bought it.
How much does Comics Unleashed pay?
Well, he is notorious.
It was a syndicated show and he owned all of it.
Yeah.
So he made so much
money.
Byron
Allen owns the Weather Channel.
I'm going to...
My faith in humanity is growing by the second right
Deep
now.
Dig.
He's listed as American comedian.
That guy is not a comedian.
No.
He
must have been at one point.
Other comedians' bits were the clunkiest shit I've seen in my life.
He's like an impresario.
Jimmy Walker saw Allen's stand-up act and was so impressed that he invited the 14-year-old comedian to join his comedy writing 14. Team.
Jimmy Walker discovered this guy?
Alongside Jay Leno and David Letterman.
Right. Jimmy Walker and Jay Leno are the same agent. Deep dig.
He was at 18. He was on The Tonight Show.
I don't know why you're laughing.
I just feel like I'm 80 years old. Jay Leno and Jimmy Walker have the same agent.
They did. Amazing. I heard some podcast where they talked about
you.
It.
I totally believe you.
And I was like, oh, that's an interesting fact that I will chain.
Allen acquired.
Never mind remembering when to pay my taxes on time. I will remember the fact that Jimmy Walker and fucking Jay Leno had the fucking same agent.
He bought the television assets of the Weather Channel for approximately $300 million in March 2018.
$300 million?
Yeah, that seems actually kind of low for a fucking channel that's on every...
It seems pretty high for a guy who had a shitty syndicated TV show.
His big money apparently came in foray into television production began in Los Angeles in 93. He founded Entertainment Studios...
Yeah,
the launch
he's like
of
a CEO
Entertainers
of like 10
with Brian Allen.
Yeah.
Entertainment Studios produces, distributes, and sells advertising for 32 television series. So he's not only does
oh,
he.
Shit. So he's.
Not only does he make a syndicated show, he distributes syndicated shows.
Whoa.
Emmy winning Cars
the show
TV.
The show I'm working on right now is at the Sony Studios. And I got to walk by fucking Wheel of Fortune every day.
Mm hmm. So you're actually on the lot?
Yeah, we're on the lot now.
It's good. We're in a
rental
office.
I mean,
across the street.
Cafeteria is great.
Yeah.
Parking, not so much.
Trust me,
but
it's
better
than the black mold that was in the building we were.
But I gotta walk by that fucking Wheel of Fortune stage every day. And that Pat Sajak, he's such a piece of shit. Like I feel bad walking by the stage where he works because I look at like a bunch of cars that are not parked in the lot; they're just parked next to the stage. And I'm like,
one of these Sajak's.
Fucking Mercedes is Pat Sajak's.
We see. I had what do they call it?
He's like super right wing or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a real. He's like a, InfoWars type.
Oof. When I worked at CBS, we had Price is Right, which. Fucking sucks because they're fucking loud and they scream and they run four shows
that's
a day.
That's Bob Barker. He's like all about like neutering pets.
It's Drew Carey now. Sir Drew Carey.
And he's fine. He's politically pretty progressive, but he does the
Super
I'm rich guy thing where he drives a different car every day and his parking spot is like right by the cafeteria. So every day you get to go by and you're like, oh, 50s Chevy Drew, or like 68 Volkswagen 21 like window. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's, I don't, I'm not,
if
I mean, he's not
was
Leno
that
level.
Guy, but. I would be like, ooh, 89 Corolla? Like, I would do some deep cuts, like an Astro van. Like, do the fun, weird, like, I remember those.
On my way here, I saw, like, like a 91 Corolla that was in perfect condition. I was like,
some of them are beautiful.
Ooh, like, who did that? Like, who kept that fucking car in perfect condition? It was, like, kind of like raspberry, cranberry red, and, like, the bumpers were perfect. And I was like, how... Who did that? Like, who? Exactly. Whose idea was that?
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. We should play another song. Mm-hmm. This is a music podcast, after all.
Yeah, no, I could tell.
I hope you could.
I could.
That's why folks, we already played them. No good. We decided not to play them.
But don't say their name and then...
Well, you're the one who fucking canceled them, man.
I didn't cancel.
Oh no, they're all right. They're all right. They're like, check them out.
You check them out on Ben Acker's episode from three weeks ago.
This band called Mad Crush.
Mad Crush.
I fucking swear to God, I.
That sounds. I'm just off the name, ska band.
No, they're
this
ex Superchunk. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Check it out.
All that quality time.
Okay, that was the whole song. You really gotta fix that.
Yeah, no, I'll cut it out. People won't even notice. They'll be like, what are they talking about?
I hope you do, because last week you said you're going to cut in the opening theme.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato. Neil, girl! I hear just a little bit stranger.
But I also cut in two other songs. Look, once I hit render, we're done. Like, I do the things I do, and then I hit render, and then I'm like, I'm not fucking re-rendering this, because I gotta, like, do it, like, three times.
Congratulations, but, like, you said you were gonna put the opening title
thing. I did say, and I still think it kind of hurt, because, like, that fucking mashed potatoes drop is hilarious, but it
everyone loves the mashed potatoes drop.
Yep.
So that was, did we play two? No.
No, we played the same one twice.
Right. That was Mad Crush.
Mad Crush, Manta.
Sent to us by a publicist. And
we should really reward the publicist. I would love to do an entire publicist-only episode before Jonah gets
back.
Well,
I would like to do an episode with not the most recent five songs that we got sent, because that's basically what we're up to right now. We're not getting a lot of submissions. If you would like to hear your band on Jonah Radio... Without Jonah.
Email it at the last minute. Yeah.
Email it right now.
Yeah.
At JonahRadio at gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Not as funny as Gmail. Gmail.com.
I just had a speak and spell flashback.
Yeah, I was just thinking, not a lot of podcasts go the spell out the email anymore. Yeah. They just...
I just feel like... maybe people are sending it to the wrong
address. Oh, yeah. You think there's a Jonah R-A-I-D-O? I think there's a gap.
I definitely looked up the normal spelling of radio earlier when I was looking up this.
Yeah. Oh, there's some assholes making millions of dollars off.
Yeah. We got an email from that, like, Roisey Rothschild from last week, and he was all upset that we didn't tag him in the episode. And I'm like,
How do we tag him?
That's what I'm asking. Like, how do you tag a guy in a podcast? I don't know.
Did we not?
I mean, I don't.
Please write back in and tell us how to tag him.
He's not listening. He's fine.
You think so?
I don't think he's listening.
Like on SoundCloud, maybe, but I don't know how you do it on.
I don't think we do SoundCloud.
He's a white rapper from the UK.
That's probably why he's thinking in terms of tagging.
Oh, so he like tagging stuff.
That was very upsetting.
I still think we're allowed to be racist towards the English. I don't think that's going away. I think the sun doesn't go down on your empire for a couple thousand years.
I don't think that's a race, technically. But...
nationalistic? No.
Yeah. This guy was... He seemed like a nice guy. I'm not going to play his song, though. Yeah, maybe I will.
He didn't flirt with you enough?
Well... He's got a very hard to pronounce last name. That's basically the border that I'm at right now.
I see why your people stayed in Massachusetts. Because they saw the rolling hills to the west of them. They're like, we're good. We don't want to go over those. We're going to stay here right where we got off the boat.
How would you guys pronounce this? BERGKOETTER.
Bog cutter?
I don't think that's it. Mm.
It's a cool name, though.
Burketter?
Burketter? Where's he from?
He doesn't say. But he says, hey, Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the two of us don't fucking exist. Well, we've been carrying this goddamn show.
His name is
goddamn 6 weeks.
Well, we're going to see Jonah. We get a free ticket to
My name is Luke Berg. Oh, yeah, we're going to go to that show. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Makes it all
Oh, we already played his thing.
Yeah.
My name is Luke Bergketter from the band's Withershins.
That's a
good
dude.
Name. I'm so happy you dig the Withershins record. Unfortunately,
oh no,
the Withershins had to call it quits. So the band broke up.
That's not only will we play your band's songs, we will announce their breakups on Jonah Radio.
Currently in Nashville on tour with my new band Staghorn. And a guy
loves some portmanteaus.
Yeah.
And a guy at the new show. What? A guy at the show knew he spelled new wrong. That's why I'm confused. He knew about our band from listening to Jonah Radio.
Oh, that's great. That's
I'm a dingus. Very cool. I haven't listened to the podcast. Go fuck yourself. But I'm a fan of your stand-up and MST3K. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. You know, blah, blah, blah. All right. Let me find this guy's fucking song. fucking
Jonah Radio, the podcast that demonstrates we're doing the work.
Staghorn. Oh. I had to buy this one, too.
By doing the work, I mean it's very belabored.
A little salty about
this is like did you guys ever listen to Demo Listen?
No, what's that?
It's a KXLU show, which might still be going on because I think it's like an institution at Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, KXLU is a great local college radio station.
It is. It's just going my whole life growing up here. It was like the only place to hear anything awesome, and that was. But it's also because it's college students. It's a lot of not awesome. It's just a huge mixture.
Yeah, you never know.
Demo Listen was a show you just send your demo tape into, and they play it. And
oh, wow.
That's what this reminds me of.
They crush it.
Did they wander through emails as well?
I think this is pre. This was like literally tapes.
Oh wow!
Sent in and,
I bought this song, and then I started listening to it, and I think there's like a real long talk up at the beginning, like it's just like a lady talking.
You love ladies.
I do love ladies.
Ladies. Not talking. Sorry.
What's up?
Wow.
Amber Youngblood.
Oh. We have left so many clues to where our office is in the last couple of like this is what I want. I want her husband to become enraged.
Yeah.
Use all the clues.
I don't want
to see a waitress with a low butt. I know you're nearby.
Vanished from my lungs.
Yeah.
All right.
Then all
the low butt.
All senses ceased.
All right, you started playing it. This is our last song.
Like,
so.
Right
Nick, thank you so much
like
for joining us.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. I hope you come back when Jonah's here.
J-O-N-A-H-R-A-Y.
Neil Mahoney. The absent Jonah.
Trees took form around me.
I wish you all a good week. Sorry for the first episode.
Sorry for the first episode. And thank you, Nick, for coming here. I'm sorry I spelled your name wrong for the first 4 years
ago. Oh, shit. I'm going to have to get into this one. Folks, have a good week.
divide between Central Park and the city proper was harsh and sudden. The noise was thunderous, inescapable. All around us leered brightly lit billboards advertising various medicines and fast food chains, as if they were one and the same. There were promotions for hair growth solutions for men and laser hair...
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.